September 11th, 2009, the Norris Group returns with its award-winning event, I Survived Real Estate 2009. For this critical final quarter, the Norris Group has assembled a gold panel of accomplished industry specialists to discuss the impact of seismic economic shifts, head-scratching regulations, challenging legislation, and the accelerated pace of opportunities emerging for real estate professionals. 100% of the proceeds for this unique event support the Orange County affiliate of Susan G. Komen for The Cure. This event would not be possible without the generous help of the following platinum partners: the San Diego Creative Real Estate Investors Association and President Bill Tan, Investors Workshop and President Sean Watkins and Angel Bronskiest, Invest Club for Women and Director Iris Veneration, Fry Wiles, the creative agency responsible for iSurvive2009.com, J.K. Short Sales and Kathy Van Sleen, Entrust California and Hugh Bromaw, the Nixon Library, MVT Productions, who always provide the audio-visual needs, the Business Press, airing the event live over the Internet, and White House Catering, who will provide the three-course meal for this black tie event. Visit iSurvive2009.com for more details.
Welcome to the Norris Group's Real Estate Radio Show. Hosted by author, investor, hard money lender, and real estate educator Bruce Norris. Equipping California real estate professionals for tomorrow's challenges.
Hi, thank you for joining us. My name is Bruce Norris. Today our guest is Joseph Magziarez. He is the vice president of the Appraisal Institute, and he will become the president-elect in 2010 and president of the Appraisal Institute in 2011. He's been associated with the Appraisal Institute for 38 years, has held numerous levels of responsibility in that organization, and has also taught many courses all over our country and all over the world. Joseph, we welcome you back to our show.
Yes, thank you. Good afternoon.
You've been in the business a long time. Is this business as usual or business like you've never seen it?
Well, being in the business for so long, I've seen similar conditions before in the late 80s and early 90s, but for many people, it's a new experience.
I'm glad you mentioned that. So how similar was it to, let's say, the late 80s and 90s, and was it for similar reasons? We came off of a peak market and we started a decline. Is that what's similar about it?
Yes, the pricing situation of seeing declines in real estate values is similar. Actually, the cause is significantly different.
Okay, it seems, at least in the field, and we're having to deal with the appraisal problem, if you will, every time we sell a property. It seems like something really radically changed a few months ago to the appraisal business. So, if that's true, what in fact changed?
Well, I think it all boils down to the Home Valuation Code of Conduct, HVCC, agreement that Attorney General Cuomo had with Fannie Mae and Freddie Mac.
And why did that come about? Was there an issue that of a big fraud or something that said, okay, we need to correct this, and somehow that became a national policy?
Well, actually, 3 and 4 years before that, we had been lobbying in speaking with Congress about undue pressures being put on real estate appraisers. And, of course, at that time, everybody was happy with appraisers. You couldn't get a value high enough. And so they didn't have a lot of complaints from the users of appraisal services. But a lot of good appraisers that were ethical were taken off approved lists because they wouldn't bow under to client pressure to move value in one direction or another.
Okay. So that became, I can see that. So the honest appraiser was out of business, and the person that would cooperate with anything that was necessary got the business.
Yeah, yes, and in all fairness, some of the new people coming into the business didn't have the luxury of having established relationships with really ethical lenders, that sort of thing. So they might have bowed to the pressure a little bit more than the established people or those that belong to professional groups like the Appraisal Institute.
The goal number, if you will, for an appraiser is market value. Is that still the gold standard, if you will? coming up?
Well, that's what the FIREA, you know, the Savings and Loan Bailout Bill established, that definition of market value. So that's what appraisers are estimating. However, I have to believe that some of the values that are coming out are more like a liquidation or distressed asset value than market value.
Okay. And that's, I wholeheartedly agree, but let's talk about the process then. Has something changed in the process, or are the changes coming in after an appraiser does in fact state a market value and an attempt is then to correct it?
Well, first of all, the definition of market value has been the same since 1989, so that hasn't changed. The methodology really hasn't changed. I think a lot of appraisers had not experienced appraising in a distressed market similar to what we have today. And so that's somewhat confusing for people. And certainly with the HBCC and the lender's choice to move a lot of their business to appraisal management companies, that arouses some problems that are, we need to get addressed. And we've been trying to address that, but it's still a big problem.
Okay. Yeah, that's. I wanted to cover a lot of those areas today because it is becoming a big problem. You just mentioned that this is really one of the first markets we've had in a long time, maybe 10 years, where we have declining prices. So it's legitimate if you have a 90-day-old comp to have it be worth less today than it is 90 days ago. I don't think anybody really has a problem with that. But is the bigger problem you really don't have enough completely repaired homes as comps in relationship to vacant REOs?
That is certainly a big concern in some parts of the country, but actually we've seen some price recovery occurring in some markets. And what we have to remember, while this appears to be the same all over, it's really localized that with any given city or a larger geographic area, some areas are doing okay and some are still not doing too well. The real problem comes in when the sales that are occurring have been all foreclosure sales or short sales where people have taken a price less than market to get out from underneath a loan. And a good appraiser would recognize those and try to stay away from using those type of sales to estimate market value because they don't meet the requirements of the definition.
Okay, well, let's give the definition of market value and talk a little bit about that. The definition of market value is the meeting of the minds between a buyer and seller, each equally motivated and knowledgeable, looking out for their best interest. Is that approximately right?
Oh, that's correct, and without undue pressure. And that's a key issue, without undue pressure. So certainly, if you have a bank that has a lot of foreclosures that's trying to clear those off the books, they're highly motivated more than a typical seller would be. And so they try to get those off the books, and often they'll dispose of those assets at a lower price.
Making none of those really a valid comp to show market value.
In most cases, that would be true. Now, if that's the only thing going on in the market, then that might be setting a price at that point. But certainly in the market that I work in, we have market sales occurring. We also have REOs and foreclosures, and they're at a lower price point. And it'd be improper to use those if you don't consider the motivation of the buyer and the seller.
Okay. In California, we've talked about this before. You know, we really have our business is fixing properties that are vacant and need a lot of work. And we typically put in $35,000 on a repair job, and we end up in this market with a product that's probably worth $140,000. And there's a line item restriction as far as a percentage of change that I don't know if it's written somewhere, but it certainly seems to be policy that it's very hard to get $35,000 worth of credit in any of the lines where you say, okay, this is an improved product over the vacant REO. Can you address that? Is that written somewhere where that has to be, there's only a 10% credit allowed for anything like that?
Well, yeah, that's confusing to some people and misunderstood even by a lot of appraisers. What that is it relates back to a Fannie Mae Freddie Mac guideline that says when you have a line item adjustment, if it's greater than 10%, you need to explain that, because as the percent of adjustment increases, it means that that sale is less comparable. So if it required, if that was a 20% adjustment, it would mean it's similar except for $35,000. There is no 10% requirement. It's a guideline. But unfortunately, some of the underwriters believe that's a rule, which it's never been a rule. It's a guideline.
Okay. Where does the process, let's say an appraiser appraised a property, and I'll just, you know, I have lots of examples, unfortunately. I wish I didn't. But we had multiple offers on a property that was $122,000, six offers to be exact. And the appraisal came in at $102,000, which was a review appraiser came in then. And so we struggled to be okay with $102,000 when the review appraiser came in at $85,000. So that's a long ways away from what six buyers thought the market value was. And there's no one to argue with. You know, I guess that's the biggest frustration. Yeah, and the end result is we don't have a sale. We just decided, okay, the heck with it. We'll keep it as a rental. But here's the downside. That neighborhood is now without the 122 comp. It's stuck with whatever comps are allowed to close, and most of those will be vacant REOs. So this is a big deal, because if the appraiser isn't allowed to honor the market decision of a buyer, then the market price, at least in some markets, is going to go down further without really having a good reason to do so.
Yes, and I couldn't agree with you more on that. There are several things that could be going on there that might contribute to improper appraising or methodologies. And it has to do going back to the HVCC and stating there needs to be a firewall between the one originating a loan and the one that's doing the appraisal.
Okay. And that's the appraisal management company at this point?
Well, a lot of the lenders, rather than to internally handle that, they moved the appraisal process to an appraisal management company.
Okay.
Now, when they did that, some of those have good business models, and some don't have business models that are too good.
Okay.
For example, there's been this is one of the main complaints we're getting of the officers of the Appraisal Institute and our Government Relations Committee in Washington, D.C. Many appraisals are being done from appraisers that are not competent, maybe in experience, but also in geographic competency.
Now, how are they assigned that property? Is it, how is that decision made?
Well, unfortunately, what's happening with a number of these management companies, some of them have a process where they get an assignment in from a client, and they broadcast that this assignment is available to everyone on their approved list. Whoever can hit the internet the most quickly and at the lowest fee sometimes is given an assignment.
So it's
and
an auction?
So the problem with the AMC, and this is not all of them by any stretch of imagination, but a good number, is they're not hiring the experienced appraiser that understands how to handle this problem. They're going on turnaround time, the minimum amount of time, and lower fees. And so at the lower fees, the well-trained appraisers that have experience would know how to explain these changes between what a property was at foreclosure and now it's been completely rehabbed and why the value should be higher. They're hiring people without enough experience, and they don't know how to handle this.
Well, that's a big problem.
It is a gigantic problem. In fact, I had talked with our officers, and I don't know if you've seen the news releases today by the Appraisal Institute, but we have 26,000 members, and we send a personal notification to every one of our members that went out today, chiding them about it being properly experienced and to have that geographic competency, and advising them that we will monitor this and we will take aggressive enforcement against any of our members that accepts assignments they're not qualified for and they don't have the geographic competency.
Wow.
We also gave news releases to all the media today a similar message and advise. We're chiding all appraisers for this. you have to be competent in this market because it's an injustice to the public. When people take assignments they're not qualified for, and they defeat the open and free market that you would like to see. We also gave them email in other ways that they could turn in our members or advice on how they can turn in appraisers that are violating this competency. I think until that happens, you're going to continue to see assignments done by people that really are not qualified.
I know in July that your current president met in front of Congress and discussed some of these issues.
Jim Ameren did,
yeah.
And along with that, they asked us where we were 3 years ago, and we reminded them we were sitting almost in the same chair telling them these problems were going on,
mm-hmm.
and they failed to act on it then, and really this valuation code of conduct really isn't rules. It's an agreement between Fannie Mae, Freddie Mac, or government-sponsored entities in the Attorney General. And so there's a couple bills pending, but it looks like they're not going to be acted on in the Senate till next year sometime. And by that time, some of this would be almost sunsetting some of these rules.
Does the appraisal management company have to be run by people with any kind of appraisal background?
Well, this is a problem also, and we've been lobbying on this. I know that we have three board of directors two active and a third director, we call them, from Florida. And they're telling us stories there where appraisers who've been had their license revoked now own appraisal companies. They're not actually signing appraisal, but they owe them, or they've started management companies where essentially they're supervising other appraisers where they don't have the ability to act as an appraiser any longer. So we've been lobbying that we need stronger monitoring of these appraisal management companies, and we came out with model legislation for state licensing, which we generally prefer. Because states have the enforcement ability, there's no federal enforcement group that can enforce on a federal license basis.
Is communication allowed with an appraiser doing an appraisal when HVCC is basically, I guess it's Fannie and Freddie are where HVCC comes into play. If somebody's appraising a property for Fannie or Freddie, can an agent call them or help them with local comps, or is that forbidden at this point?
You know, that's another misunderstanding. That is not forbidden. It's the loan officer that takes the application that has compensation probably based on the loan closing or not that is not to correspond with the appraiser. The management company could correspond with an appraiser. Certainly the realtor could correspond with an appraiser, and that property owner, if it was a refinance mortgage and not a sale, can certainly offer comparable sales data to an appraiser. Now, they have an obligation to independently verify that data.
Sure.
But there is no restriction on a realtor from talking with an appraiser about the appraiser or offering assistance in local comparable sales. And that would certainly be recommended if that appraiser is not from that area, although I would take other action in that case.
It is very misunderstood, this whole thing, because we have people that we know are agents who have called up appraisers that have an assignment. And honestly, the first sentence they were told is, you're not allowed to talk to us.
Well, that's a common misunderstanding of the Home Valuation Code of Conduct. It prohibits only the loan originator, the person that stands to gain a commission from that deal closing. They're the one that can't do that.
What is the net results to the appraiser as far as what was his fee prior to HVCC and what is it now typically?
Well, that's been a big concern. It's one of the top five problems we have. All management companies are not the same. We have a company here in Chicago called GAMCO, GAMCO. They use appraisal institute members, and designated members keep 90% of the fee, and non-designated members of the institute keep 80% of the fee. But from what I've been hearing, it's not untypical for a management company now to take 50 or 60% of the fee. And so we're hearing people getting their fees cut in half, in some cases more. Well, when that happens, the better appraisers, the better trained, refuse to work for those companies. And there's a lot of our members that won't work for management companies. So that leaves the new people coming into the business that are actively looking for any work that would take those. And certainly some of those may be qualified, but it takes a lot of experience in the market to be an expert.
Well, like you said, it would have taken somebody being around since about 1989 to 95 to have lived through one of these. So if this is all new to somebody, that could be a real problem, no doubt about it. So you're fearing you're really going to be losing maybe some very, very knowledgeable people from the business altogether.
Yes, we've been contacted by many of our members saying they're considering that they may have to do something else. We have several designated appraisers here in Chicago that work for some of the big Chicago lenders who unfortunately switched to management companies. They do quality work, and I know the people and I know their work. And they're not even on the approved list for the management company. They may tend not to put well-qualified people on that list because they know they're not going to accept the fee. And the other major problem is the management companies, some of those, want such a quick turnaround time, 24 or 48 hours, that it really doesn't allow sufficient time to get to know the market and to verify the data you're using and to do a quality opinion of value. So a lot of our members are not accepting lender work through management companies.
What is a LARA report, L-A-R-A? Are you familiar with that?
I am not.
I think it's an automated appraisal system. But anyway, let's talk a little bit about that, because I think that that's coming into play quite often, is that the original appraisal, who has certainly seen the property and seen the differences, gets trumped quite often by one of these automated appraisals.
And okay, I understand what you're talking about.
Okay.
Yeah, another acronym for that is AVM, or Automated Valuation Model.
Okay. I think LARA might be a specific company.
These are done on a statistical basis.
Mm-hmm.
A good thing about them is I think they're a good use if you had 100 loans and you wanted to know which ones might be improperly valued, because you could put an expected value and see if you're within a 10% or 20% range or something. But most of those type of reports, when you get down to what they used, you'll find out that they're not comparable sales. They're just sales.
That's right. There's no way to differentiate. It is, in fact, a median value that they come up with, not a market value.
That's correct. And unfortunately, about any time it's just math and you take away the human interface, they haven't got a clue what is next door to that property.
That's right. They don't know what's inside the property, whether it has a kitchen or not. It's just a number.
Exactly. And, you know, I'm a Chicago Bear fan, and if I went out to the home and it was painted the colors of Green Bay Packers, I wouldn't have too much value in some markets. So that's just sort of a funny way of looking at really what I'm talking about, is that automation valuation method requires somebody to code in a value for something.
That's great.
And a perception, if it's in good condition or average or fair, would require somebody entering that property and spending some time there. It's not something that can be garnered from an assessor's record or from other data and have any kind of relevant reliability to some degree.
I agree. Joseph, unfortunately, we're out of time. We're looking so forward to having you with us September 11th. And we'll see you along with a group of other experts on that panel, and hopefully we can do some good that evening.
I would hope so. I'm looking forward to it also. So thank you again for considering me for your show. I appreciate it.
You bet, Joseph. Thanks for joining us.
Okay, goodbye.
Okay, bye-bye.
You've been listening to the Norris Group Real Estate Radio Show. For more information on the Norris Group, please visit www.thenorrisgroup.com. The Norris Group would like to thank its gold sponsors for supporting I Survived Real Estate 2009. 1M1 Properties, Dalme Properties, Elite Auctions, the Inland Empire Investors Forum, Las Brisas Escrow, Los Angeles Event Center, the Mortgage Equity Group, Mike Cantu, Northern California Real Estate Investors Association, North San Diego Real Estate Investors Association, Real Wealth Network, Realty 411 Magazine,
San Jose Real Estate Investors Association, the REO Mentor, Tony Alvarez, Westin South Coast Plaza, Women's Council of Realtors, Inland Valley Chapter. To find out more about I Survived Real Estate 2009 and how you can get involved, visit isurvived2009.com.